Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, November 14th, 2024. We'll start with a story written by Kegla White. It's electric. Westville debuts all new electric school bus fleets. And there's a picture on the front page of Westville School Superintendent Dr. Seth Miller speaks to a crowd of media and personnel as first grade students from Judith Giacoma Elementary wait patiently in front of a newly debuted Type C electric school bus, part of a fleet of 15 electric buses replacing the old diesel buses with first student. Next to Miller stands Steve Menser of first student and Shane Cobble of International Motors and IC bus. Okay. Students from Westville School District Number 2 are cruising into a greener, cleaner future now that First Student has debuted a whole new fleet of 15 electric, emission-free school buses to replace their old diesel fleet. Though the buses have been in working order for a month with no issues, according to Superintendent Dr. Seth Miller, a ribbon-cutting ceremony was held Wednesday morning to debut the fleet. Afterward, a lucky group of first graders from Judith Giacoma Elementary School was given the chance to ride around the block in a new electric bus with several officials from IC Bus, the manufacturer, and first student, as well as a few wide-eyed media personnel. Dr. Miller opened the ceremony by speaking to the quality of bus drivers employed by first student and the EP in their multi-decade safety record. Miller also spoke about the EPA's Clean School Bus Program, a federal program which enabled the purchase of the electric buses for the district. He went on to thank the school board for taking fiscally responsible decisions. That are cleaner and greener to our students, and which prove the board's commitment to the future children of the district. As Miller offered the opening remarks, the students stood in front of the bus, patiently waiting for their chance to climb aboard, each holding a certificate proving they were among the first to ride. Meanwhile, the bus hummed in, and I have to change pages, so give me a second here. The bus hummed in near silence as driver Susan Wilson sat at the helm. It's quieter, it's more stable because it's newer. I think it's more efficient, Wilson said. I personally love it. Love, love, love. One aspect of the new bus, which both students and bus drivers alike will enjoy, is the energy-efficient heating and cooling system on board. No more sweating through clothes in the summer or freezing bums on the icy leather seats in the winter. The new buses also include a speaker system which allows drivers to speak to children over an intercom throughout the bus, as well as an up-to-date camera system promising safer rides for all. To support the transition from diesel to electric, Westville is utilizing First Change, First Student's innovative above-ground charging solution, which eliminates the need for trenching or burying electrical lines, significantly reducing construction time and costs by up to 50%, according to First Student. The school district and First Student partnered with Ameren, which covered the costs of the transformer needed to charge the buses daily, the installation of the transformer, and any upgrades needed on the utility side, according to First Student. We applaud First Student and Westville School District leaders for their decision to electrify their school bus fleet and deliver the health, safety, and environmental benefits to their students and the broader community, said Andy Parker, Director of Clean Energy Transition Strategy and Policy for Ameren, Illinois. For those concerned about the reliability of an electric school bus, there's no need to worry, said Kevin McNamara, Senior Director of Charging for First Student. As drivers returned to the bus station at night, crews charge up the batteries for the next day. McNamara said each Each bus is equipped with a system that allows first student engineers to remotely monitor bus batteries and systems for any malfunction so they can send a maintenance crew out to make repairs. So let's say it's a cold day. The batteries all have heaters on them. So to make sure that the batteries have optimal performance, the bus will actually turn on those heaters and warm the batteries up to the correct temperature that they need to be before the bus can run, McNamara said. Giving kids a greener, healthier future starts with cleaner air, according to First Student. Replacing just one diesel school bus with an electric bus can reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 54,000 pounds each year. First Student is leading the way on electrifying America's school buses because our mission is to provide the safest and most reliable student transportation, McNamara said. We thank our partners in the Westville School District for trusting us as we continue to improve rides for all students. Electric buses will help the school district save money in several ways. Aside from saving the costs of expensive diesel fuel, electric buses also mean reduced maintenance costs. Electric buses do not require engine or exhaust system maintenance, since they have neither, and they also mean less wear on brakes due to regenerative braking, meaning every time a driver hits the brakes, the vehicle's kinetic energy, which it generates by moving, is captured and converted into electrical energy to recharge the battery, according to the EPA. Westville may be the first district in the area to move to the fully electric bus fleet, but it won't be the last. First Student said they have secured more than $400 million in federal funding for school districts across the country from the EPA's Clean School Bus Program. This is enough funding to secure about 1,200 electric school buses for districts across the United States. The company currently has 390 electric school buses on the roads across North America, with an additional 2,000 under contract. By the end of the 2024-25 school year, First Student estimates it will have reduced its carbon emissions by 12,550 tons. The company has committed to transition 30,000 of its diesel buses to electric by 2035. And there's a picture of First Student bus driver Susan Wilson says she loves driving the new electric school bus because they're quieter and more stable. Next story is titled Board Budgets 232K for repairs to animal shelter. Shelter increases tag fees, waive fees for seniors, vets, and active military. And this is again is written by Kegla White. Animals and staff in the Vermilion County Animal Shelter may finally see some repairs to their building after the board voted Tuesday to approve the 2024-25 fiscal year budget, including a $232K shelter repair budget, a 518% increase over last fiscal year. It's been a rough year for the shelter. In June, a particularly intense heat wave overwhelmed the facility's struggling cooling system, leaving more than 100 animals and many staff sweltering in the muggy heat. In response, the community came out in droves, donating cooling mats, portable AC units, and water to help keep the animals and staff safe. In the wake of the heat wave event, several people spoke on behalf of the animals and staff at the shelter at meetings of the Vermilion County Board, imploring that the board give more funding to the struggling shelter. Earlier this year, the county ordered a report to determine whether the shelter needed a new building or the old one could hold out longer with some necessary repairs. That report came back, and they recommended either a new building, a new build, or a total remodel of the less old part of our currently facility plus an addition, Snyder said. Wednesday, adding that it was estimated such changes would cost the county between $9 and $15 million. Considering the estimated cost to to fully repair the facility. Snyder says the funds allocated to the Buildings and Grounds Department for the shelter repairs will remain on hold until a plan can be put in place. That money is going to be there, be very, very helpful, but we're also in the process of figuring out if a new facility is doable. We definitely don't want to waste the money, for example, if we get something fixed and then have to move to a different facility, Snyder said. We want to make sure that the money is used in the most appropriate way. In the meantime, Snyder said they are forming a committee of public members and not board members to assess the needs of the shelter and the next steps. The shelter saw an uptick in adoptions after the heat wave crisis, but unfortunately they are full again. Snyder said due in large to the issue of overpopulation, something Snyder says can be remedied if people will get their pets spayed or neutered. One way the county is working to help encourage both adoption and spay-neuter rates to increase is by offering a discounted rabies shot tag fee to owners of spayed-neutered pets, as well as waiving fees for up to two pets for owners who are seniors over 65 years of age, those on active duty in the military, and veterans. New rate tags, which may not go into effect for several more months, will be $15 for a one-year tag for spayed-neutered pets, or $35 for a three-year tag, and $30 for a one-year tag for animals who are not spayed or neutered, or $65 for a three-year tag, according to Snyder. Tag design will change this year, Snyder said, with the addition of a QR code that will make reunification of lost pets and their families that much faster and easier. So if we're closed and the dog gets loose from its owner and someone driving by picks it up, they can scan the tag code with the phone and the owner information and phone number will be public. That way the finder can call the owner directly and get that dog back home, Snyder said. They don't have to wait till the next day to bring it in to us. They won't have to take it to a vet to get it scanned for a microchip. It's hopefully going to help return animals to their homes before they even have to enter the shelter, Snyder said. For now, the team at the shelter is working to keep pets in their homes using whatever means they can to assist animals' owners who are perhaps struggling. Some owners are even being encouraged to foster their own pet until another home can be found for them, in hopes of cutting down the population of the shelter. If their owner is surrendering for one reason or another, like maybe they just needed a bag of food or to get by, or maybe they just need other basic necessities, we're asking, can we help you figure out how to keep the pet in the home, Snyder said. Okay, there's just one obituary this week. Carolyn Ann Johnson, 85, of Oakwood, passed away on Sunday, November 10th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. Cremation rites will be accorded following a celebration of life for Carolyn will take place at 3 p.m. on Saturday, November 16th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Cremation rites will be accorded following the service, and a private burial will be held at Georgetown Cemetery at a later date. Visitation will be from 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, November 16th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Next story is titled NACO Submits Petition to Be on DACC Board, again written by Kegla White. Dr. Stephen NACO has no plans to go quietly into the night, it seems, after finishing his last official day as president of Danville Area Community College on December 13th. Along with several others, he submitted a petition Tuesday to be elected to one of the three vacant DACC Board of Trustees seats up for election this coming April. "I care about the college," Naco told the Commercial News. "I think the college needs to continue its course, doing what it's doing, and if I can help, I will." Though Naco signed an official agreement when he retired, which explicitly prohibits him from being employed by the college ever again, board members are volunteers and they are elected by the public, not appointed by the college. While the job of president, Naco says, is more of a hands-on day-to-day operation, a trustee of the college takes on more of an oversight role, giving them access to the broader picture. It's a 50,000-foot view. You're not running the college as a board member. You're overseeing, Naco said, and you're not alone. There are seven of you, plus the student trustees, so it's a group of citizen volunteers. Whether or not he is elected to the board, Naco intends to do all he can to help the college moving forward, he said. "I'll be retired on December 13th, and it would a good way to continue in the community to help on the board if I can be elected. And if I'm not, that's fine. I would still find ways to help," Naco said. "Anyone may apply to join the board, so long as they are a resident of District 507, Vermilion County, and parts of Champaign, Edgar," and I have to change pages again, sorry, "Ford and Iroquois counties. The next election will take place April 1st, 2025, as part of the larger Vermilion County elections. Naco joins Aaron Biggs, Lisa Martin, and Greg Wolf in the pool of those who have already submitted the petitions. The window to apply to be included in the ballot closes Monday. Wolf was recently appointed chairman of the board, replacing David Harvey, who resigned October 24, citing medical issues. If Wolf is elected again in April, he will have the chance to be appointed to this seat again, as the board recognizes and chooses a new chairman, vice chairman, and secretary and treasurer every new election. With Mr. Hardy resigning from his term early, there is a 4-year unexpired term that will be on the ballot, along with the 2 6-year terms, Board Secretary Kerry Thurman said. Those interested in applying may submit their application packet to Thurman's office, located on the second floor of the Vermilion Hall at 2000 East Main Street in Danville. Submissions may also be sent via email to kthurman@dacc.edu. Next story is titled "Northridge Students Ringing Bells for Salvation Army," written by a staff reporter. Students at Danville's Northridge Middle will help the Salvation Army's local Red Kettle campaign this year. About 300 collection boxes will be distributed at the school, giving students, teachers, and staff an opportunity to donate to the Salvation Army. Bryant Industries helped to provide the boxes. The teacher, Kenneth Kober, said the school students' council members also plan to volunteer to ring bells during the Red Kettle campaign. "We appreciate the students' efforts to help others in the community," said Lieutenant Catherine Reed, the officer in charge of the local corps office at 855 East Fairchild Street. The annual Red Kettle campaign runs through December 24th. The traditional kettles will be located at Danville's Walmart, Big Lots, Walgreens, and County Market, as well as Tilton's County Market. Counter kettles can be found at a number of businesses in the area. For more information about the campaign, call 217-442-5911. Next story is titled "Lions Club of Danville Hosted Annual Candy Day," written by a staff reporter. Lions Club of Danville hosted their annual Candy Day on October 12th. Candy Day is a fundraiser for the Lions of Illinois Foundation for use for programs and services in their local Lions district. Funds collected on Candy Day support Camp Lions, student low vision screenings, and adult low vision training. Candy Day ensures that Danville Lions have continued use of special equipment for conducting low vision screenings locally. Every year, Danville Lions Club utilizes the Foundation's Plus Optics device to screen Head Start students for potential eye problems. In addition to specialty low vision youth screenings, Candy Day funds also ensure that Camp Lions remains a free camp for kids and youth in Illinois, and that the mobile unit continues to be out and on the road doing screenings. Long-term partners like Leader Dog, Hadley School for the Blind, the Lions of Illinois Eye Research Institute, known as LIERI, and Eversight receive yearly grants for programs from the foundation because of Candy Day. Thank you from Camp Lions was issued to those Lions clubs who hold Candy Day and donate to the foundation as another successful, eventful, and oh-so-fun year at Camp Lions has come to an end. The campers, counselors, and directors are filled with gratitude because of your generosity and support. Campers have been reunited with old friends, gained a stronger sense of confidence and independence by participating in exciting activities, and experienced all the joys of summer with their peers. For the last 67 years, the summers of many youth and adults have been forever grateful for your unswerving devotion for serving those with vision and hearing needs. Your Lions of Illinois Foundation could not continue to offer or fund Camp Lions without the help of the clubs and Lions throughout Illinois. More than 20,000 youth and adults have attended Camp Lions since its inception in 1957. Without the Lions, Camp Lions would simply not be able to continue to conduct Camp Lions. Camp Lions is a place where each camper can be themselves and who are fully accepted as who they are. And there's a picture of Lions Club of Danville member Dave Fields receives a donation from a donor on October 12th, Candy Day. Next story is titled City Scales Back Arts in Alleys Initiative, staff reporter. The City of Danville will have to scale back its plans for Arts in Alleys, a previously announced initiative meant to bring vibrant art to alleys in Danville, Illinois, after losing out on grants necessary to fund the projects. In May of 2024, a collaboration between Danville Area Visitors Bureau, Downtown Danville Inc., Vermilion Advantage, and the Danville Public Library Foundation and the City of Danville was announced with intentions to bring the initiative to downtown Danville. In light of the city's inability to secure funding from either source of applied to, the city has announced it will need to temporarily scale back the Arts in Alley program. However, in keeping with their commitment to enhancing the artistic landscape of downtown Danville, they are moving forward with a revitalized initiative, Angel Alley. This new project will showcase public art installations in one of the city's new alleyways, with plans for completion by summer of 2025. The city deeply appreciates the community's continued support and passion for public art, and we are excited to enhance the heart of Danville with even more beauty and creativity in the months ahead. We'll share an editorial today, Share Joy with a Toy. Many of us hold memories of opening a special toy on Christmas morning. Its cost didn't matter. We didn't care whether it was small or big. Someone had thought enough of us to leave a gift let us know they thought we were special. Some children don't get to experience that happiness. Their family face difficult times and gifts might be far down the priority list. However, local groups stand ready to help those in need. Project Success, an after-school program that serves much of the county, provides gifts for its participants. Santa's Anonymous in Westville helps all the stockings helps fill all the stockings of those in need. And many churches and other organizations do what they can to create happy holidays for everyone. One group, Toys for Tots, takes the challenge of serving children in Vermilion County as well as in Fountain and Warren counties just across the state line in Indiana. Toys for Tots plans several sign-up events for those who want to ensure their children through age 14 receive a toy this holiday season. Parents must bring a government-issued birth certificate, copy of school records, or medical records containing the child's name and birth date. They also must bring government-issued identification with a local address. Without these documents, they will not be allowed to participate. The sign-up dates will be from 4 to 5:45 Eastern today at the Attica, Indiana Public Library, 10 a.m. to noon Friday at Chris Senior Services at 309 North Franklin Street in Danville, and 5 to 6:45 p.m. on Monday at the Covington, Indiana Public Library at 4 to 7 p.m. November 25th at Crossroads Christian Church at 3613 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Applications can be made online at the Toys for Tots website at Danville, Illinois, toysfortots.org. For more information, visit the website or email the group at Danville, IL at toysfortots.org. The group will send confirmation emails after November 30th. Those who want to donate to Toys for Tots can also get information on the website or by visiting its Facebook page. The program is sponsored by members of the Marine Corps Reserves. Even small donations of toys or money can make a big difference in a child's life. The mythology of Santa Claus says the jolly old elf only visits those children who have behaved throughout the year. So imagine the feelings of a child who wakes up on Christmas morning without a present to open. They must wonder if what they did was so bad that Santa passed them by. Imagine the feelings of parents who can't provide even one gift for their children. We can make sure Santa makes a stop at every child's home. We can support those local organizations with goals and include making children happy. There's no better gift than to provide a smile and a feeling that someone cares. Do what you can to create holidays for everyone. Just a quick couple of news briefs. Liberty Village holding holiday fair. The Liberty Village of Danville will be holding a holiday vendor fair from 10 to 3 p.m. on November 22nd. The event will be held on the first floor at Liberty Estates at 3220 Independence Drive in Danville. A large variety of vendors will be set up offering holiday items, gift items, baked goods, and much more. For more information, contact Amy Thompson, Marketing Director at 217-497-1602. And Garden Club meeting canceled. The Danville Garden Club meeting set for November 26th at 1 p.m. has been canceled. The next meeting will be held January 28th, 2025 at 1 p.m. at the Danville Public Library. And let's see, Sweet Adelines to host luncheon silent auction. Celebrate Sweet Adelines and Santa on December 7th at Countdown for Christmas luncheon and silent auction at Bremer Center on the campus of Danville Area Community College. Doors open at 11 a.m. Wear your favorite holiday wear as we eat, sing, and get merry. Call 217-474-0473 for reservations. Proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Danville. So that'll be it for Thursday, November 14th, 2024. Looks like it's supposed to be a decent weekend. A little chilly, but Illini's last home football game this weekend. So go Illini. Hopefully you win. Hopefully y'all have a good week, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.